Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
What do you do when your passion, when your soul job finds you? And maybe you don't even expect it. You know, most of us are searching. We're searching for the answer to what is our purpose here on life, you know, and we continually dig deep and do a lot of self-help books and things like that. Why aren't we happy? Where can we go to find our happiness and things like that? But what happens when it pretty much you step into it? Well, whether she knows this or not, I am having a wonderful guest today who inspired me, and we bumped into each other. I don't even know how, so we're going to talk about that. But I just remember being drawn to her. She was so inspiring in the sense that she was driven to do so much to change people's lives. And it just blew my mind. It was such a selfless purpose. And it's grown over the years to an unbelievable degree. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Terry Grawl from Enchanted Makeovers. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Do you remember how we met?
I emailed you because I wanted you to write the songs for a video.
Yes. Close to the mic. There you go. And okay, now I, yes, now
on
I remember.
On the porch, your porch.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. And the red cardinal.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, tell the whole story. Go ahead.
Well, I hope I get this right.
No one's going to know about you.
You received my email, mm-hmm. and I think you were kind of a little down.
I was, yes.
And after reading my email, the red cardinal showed up on your porch. Mm-hmm. I think it represents your grandma.
It does, Sophie. Very good. Yes.
Yes. And then that was, I guess, a divine answer.
It was.
To do this, yes. To write the songs.
Yes. And I remember it was the first time actually anyone had asked me to do that. I think writing for, you know, kind of a documentary type thing, but it was actually for Enchanted Makeovers. But can you tell people what happened? You were an interior designer, correct? Is that what you?
Interior decorator.
Decorator. Okay.
Because we don't move walls.
Okay. I didn't know there was a difference. Okay, good to know. All right. And so how long had you done that in your life?
I started in 2005.
Okay.
When all four of my kids were full-time in school.
Four? I didn't know you had four children. Oh my
yes.
gosh. Okay. And did you enjoy it?
Yes. I remember telling my mother when I started my decorating business that it would be more about giving women hope. Mm-hmm. Than about decorating.
Okay. So you had that underlying from the beginning.
Yes, but it was just residential homes.
Right. And then what happened? What turned your life, and I don't want to say upside down in a negative way. I mean, literally, you stepped into something and you had no idea that this was going to change your life. Can you tell everybody that story?
Well, my very first client lives on Woodward mm-hmm. in Royal Oak.
Okay.
And it's my brother's employee. So he's like, why don't you go over there, and she's up north, and just do a redesign.
Okay.
So I went into her home, and I just remember feeling this energy in this house that I just felt this sadness. I didn't know her story.
Okay.
And nothing had been painted. I'm a flea market fanatic. This woman is too.
Okay.
But there's a process to that.
Okay.
So when you buy someone else's once treasure, is cleaning, it's finding a special place in your home. Well, she just had placed it anywhere in her house with the tag still on it. And so I remember finishing her living room, and then I left a note on her counter and I said, let me heal your home.
Wow.
And she called me the next day and said, I want you to help me.
No kidding. I didn't hear this story. This is beautiful. You just felt that total sadness in her home.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I started with her kitchen, and I'm more than just flooring. It represents like a new path.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would share with my clients. Obviously, the color is way deeper than just the paint. But we finished the kitchen. And I remember praying for her during that transformation. Mm-hmm. And then she asked if I would do her guest room. Mm-hmm. And I said, what is the story behind it? What is it going to represent? She said, it's going to be about my grandmother, because she's the one that really took care of me. And every Sunday, she would make me chocolate chip cookies and we'd have tea.
Aww.
So we had her teapot in this room, a poem that she loved. And it was just a place for her to sit and meditate.
Oh, I love it.
And from there, I said, why don't we name your home?
Oh, good
idea.
And
she said,
I
want to
name everything, even my turkey at Thanksgiving. Because I feel bad. Anyway, for all you vegans out there.
So she named it High Hopes.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, and we had a sign that hung outside. And then I moved on with other clients. A whole year had passed.
Mm-hmm.
And her client came in one day and started talking about this house that he passed every day. And there was something so special about it. And she said, well, tell me, what does it look like? And he said, there's a sign that says High Hopes outside. And he said, don't you know what I do besides, you know, banking stuff? And he said, I also do fundraising for Grace Centers of Hope in Pontiac.
Mm.
Do you think she'll come and paint one wall at the shelter?
Oh, my gosh.
So it was December of 06 is when I received the phone call from this gentleman asking, would you just paint one wall? Because nothing had ever been done.
Now, explain what it looked like when you walked in.
Well, I visited in January of 07.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an old post office where the women stay with their children for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember them taking me on a tour of the whole facility. And then the last stop was the women's dorm. So picture the stairs that you walk up, and there's quite a bit of steps. Mm-hmm. And everything was, it was paint that was donated, so it was this chocolate brown.
Oh.
The steps were painted that,
the trim
around the windows, even the steel metal door that you had to push open with both hands.
Mm-hmm.
And once you got into the room, 30 women stay in one room.
Oh my gosh.
There's no dividers, no walls. And I remember walking to this space and just imagine the energy in that space. I mean, everything was broken.
Yeah.
I mean, the lights were hanging from the ceiling. I asked the director, you know, where did the beds come from? She said they came from a prison.
Oh, gosh.
The bunk beds.
So the energy's just...
Everything. Yeah. I mean, the lockers, the doors were busted off. The carpet was from the 70s, all stained.
Whoa.
And I remember taking before pictures, and I just looked at it and said, I don't know if I could do anything, because it was so overwhelming. And I'm all about repurposing.
Right.
And there was nothing we could repurpose. I mean, I even asked her where the dressers were. And she said, well, there's boxes underneath the bed. That's the dresser.
Oh, my gosh.
So I took before pictures. I drove home, and I was so angry at God.
Mm-hmm.
And people always asking me, why would you? I said, I have to be honest about how I felt.
Oh, yeah. God doesn't mind you getting angry.
No.
I wrote a song called Thy Will once, and it wasn't pretty. I mean, it wasn't complimentary at all. It was like, Thy Will be done no matter how I feel. I mean, it's like, yeah. So I think he's okay with it. He likes that spunk, actually.
Yeah. So I was just like, why did you bring this to me? I don't have volunteers. I don't have the money. I don't know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, I'm not going to even look at those pictures. So a whole week had passed, and I'm like, I think I should look at the before pictures. So at that time was you downloaded the photos. There was no phones to take pictures.
Right.
So I downloaded, and there on that used prison bunk bed, and the walls were held together with duct tape, was a mattress covered in urine stains. And there was a pillow, with no pillowcase, but it was white on white, so you could easily miss it,
mm-hmm.
was white polka dots. I've loved polka dots since I was a child.
Okay.
So when I saw the polka dots, I heard, trust me.
Wow.
And I just put my right hand up in the air and I said, I'll do it. I had no clue how I was going to do it.
And so you not only, I'm crying already. Sorry, guys. This is just such a beautiful story. And, you know, I was a part of it for a while there. And you could have just gone in and painted a wall. Or you could have just gone in and, you know, like bought new sheets for them or something like that. But you made it harder for yourself. I mean, you went that much further to give these people hope and love. And so can you explain, I don't want to say rules, but kind of what your mission was to repurpose this place on all levels. What did you do? You didn't just paint a wall. What did you do?
I wanted the space to feel like you were escaping. Well, the staircase was turned into an enchanted forest. Mm. So the women had to walk through a forest. And then I named the dorm Hopeful Haven. Mm. The door was painted like an old screen door.
Yeah.
So when you went in, it was their own cottage. It was all psychological.
Absolutely.
That's just so powerful, your mind.
Yes.
But I wanted everything to be handmade.
Handmade. And that's yes. what always gives me goosebumps. Literally from the pillowcases to everything, even the window treatments, everything yes. that you did. And I mean, when if anyone ever goes to the website, you can see all this beautiful stuff. And I know just looking at it makes me feel cozy, you know? And so most of, well, all of the people that stay there have had trauma in their life, right?
Yes. Well, I try to educate and share with people that the women are escaping domestic violence, human mm-hmm. trafficking, and those homeless female vets.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't a missed mortgage payment.
Right.
They might have missed that in the past, but this goes back to childhood and a lot of trauma.
Right.
The shelter is the first stepping stone for the women. So once you get through that, then you get to go to transitional and then permanent housing. I want to be there at the first stepping stone.
Right. Because that's when they're the, I don't want to say the most damaged, but, you know, probably the hardest to reach at that point because they're so shut down, I'm sure. You know.
Yes, we want the women to get through the program with their children, but mm-hmm. it needs to be healing in a nurturing space.
So what have been some of the comments or testimonials you've received from women that have experienced the beauty of what you've done?
Well, one of the ladies, her name's Donna,
mm-hmm.
and she lived in her car for a year with her children.
Mm.
And I remember her telling me, that she now sees the light coming through the window.
Wow. If that isn't just enough right
that's,
there.
That's like
so
everything.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Because the light was always there.
Yeah.
We know that.
We know that.
Yes.
But sometimes you can't, you know, I mean, you're so deep into it.
Yes.
You know, that you can't see the light. So you have literally taken this from, okay, so it was you. Right.
Well, it takes a village, but I
but
know
it wasn't a village
start.
At first. Yeah. How did you kind of recruit? And, you know, I mean, I know how you won my heart, but, you know, how did you build this village? What was it like? Tell me some of the struggles. Tell me some of the winning points. You know, how did you do it? Where did you start?
Well, it started first, and I want to sound like Hallmark-y, but...
Oh, I love Hallmark. Go for it.
It was really beginning to trust my heart, mm-hmm. and I go back to having faith.
It's a really important message.
Yeah.
You know, I struggle with that all the time. I think everyone does in their lives. You know, we have this feeling that we need concrete proof of something, and it's very difficult. And especially if you've ever failed, you know, or whatever failure is, to understand about trusting your heart. It's difficult to do that. And faith is the hugest part of it. But sometimes it's hard. So, I mean, you wake up in the morning, you're like, hey, honey, I got four kids and this is what I'm going to do. So, I mean, was he all like, yeah, let's do this? Or is he like, you're crazy?
Well, at one point we had so many boxes in the house, it was around our bed, in the hallway, in the dining room, in the garage,
what
in the basement.
What were the boxes of?
Filled donations, with? There was end tables, or nightstands, excuse me, in the kitchen.
my OCD husband would not be flying with that at all. No way. So did he support you at first?
Well, it's been 13 years.
Well, yeah.
So yes, now he's by my side.
Now he is, yes. Well, I just know that, like, it takes my husband a little time to catch up, you know, because I have these big dreams, right? And then he's like, oh, God, where are we going with this, you know? So, okay, so go ahead. So you started with just you, and then where did where did the village come from?
Well, this is how crazy this is. At the time, The Secret came out.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, what the heck is this?
Right.
And it was the last 10 minutes of Oprah talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV was on, but I wasn't even paying attention. And AOL, know, that's the big, that was the big thing. You've got mail.
Right.
So, so I hear this woman talking about the secret. And all it's going through my mind is there's no donations coming in. And the email goes off and it says, you've got mail. And I remember opening it. My first thought was, don't worry about what you don't have. Be prepared for what's about to come.
Ooh.
Yes. And
love
it was
that.
The email was from Tracy from Australia, the woman that bought stuff from my eBay store, mm-hmm. so that I could take some classes that I needed for my decorating. And she was our first donor.
Whoa. From Australia.
Yes.
Hello.
Talk about full circle from the decorating, closing that to Enchanted Makeovers and being the first donor.
No.
Isn't that like incredible?
It is. It is incredible. Now, you have gotten, okay, so at this point you have your first donation and I mean.
From there it was walking into stores, waiting 2 hours and then saying, no, you got to go to corporate office. You got to call them, send letters. One of the stores I won't name because they're supporting us now, but I want to sound like I'm bashing them. So I walked in and I thought if I could just share the women's story and just share my own story, they would help.
Sure.
You know, thinking, is that simple?
I don't understand. I mean, wouldn't everybody do that? Yes.
So the lady in the office rolled her chair out and said, we don't have time for you.
Oh,
she didn't even get out of her seat. And I remember walking out into the parking lot and I sat in the car, you know, that ugly cry.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. I know that one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I cried and I'm like, wipe your tears. You're going to go to the next door. And I didn't know what I was doing.
You're going to the stores asking for
paint
donations.
Anything I could,
yeah.
You know.
Anything you could get.
So mm-hmm. I thought, well, let's do emails. So I sent a ton of emails out. I wanted new mattresses, mattress pads, pillows. I sent them to different mattress companies.
Sure.
So it was that time, I don't know how old I was turning, but it was in April. And I remember before I got out of bed, before I touched the floor, I said, God, I don't want nothing for my birthday, but I want a big, huge donation today. So it was 12 o'clock, a gentleman called, and he was in Mexico. And he said, my wife said, you should check your emails. You've been, and it was the email for me. And he said, I've been raised, if you can help, you need to do it. He said, I'm donating all the mattresses, all the mattress pads and pillows.
Oh, my God.
And from there, I just kept like, okay, there's something here. I got to keep going.
Yes. Hello.
Yeah.
That is amazing. And now, I mean, you were working out of your house for a long time.
Yes.
Right? And now you have your own headquarters. Like, how did that happen?
Another divine appointment.
Yes. Tell us about that. And everyone who's listening, really think about this, that the things that you're striving for, that you're hoping for, and that you're afraid to have faith in wanting, just hear this. This is what's so important, that you have faith and what was the last quote you said? I've got to write that down. Where? Be prepared for it.
Don't worry about what you don't have. Be prepared for what's about to come.
Okay. You've got to get that tattooed. I need that tattoo. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Well, I got to go back a little bit.
Oh, please do.
The video that you
tell
did.
Tell the whole story.
Yes. You're going to love this. The songs that you did for the 2009 video.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the woman that videotaped that. Mm-hmm. Now, that was kind of like the guinea pig for her.
Right.
She wanted to do.
Oh, I remember. Yes.
Catherine, her name is. And I said, let's do it at a park. It's mm-hmm. right in Taylor, Heritage Park.
Right.
And I said, I'll walk through I call it the forest because it's more enchanting than the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk through the forest, but don't interview me. Just tape me.
Mm-hmm.
So got that video done. You did the songs.
Mm-hmm.
The quickest you ever done. I remember you saying, that's the quickest I've ever wrote any songs.
I remember writing them in the bathroom because my husband would not, he was leaf blowing. And I'm like, stop it. I can't concentrate. I've got to get this done. So I literally locked myself in the bathroom with the window shut. And I wrote all the songs.
Remember how quick it was?
Yeah. It was like within a day, I think I did it all.
Yeah.
But obviously it was good topic. So it was easy. It wasn't easy, but you know what I mean? Divine.
So, yes. So that forest leads to the back door of the headquarters.
Mm.
And that house wasn't even, we didn't have the house at the time. We weren't even talking about a headquarters.
No, it wasn't even in your thought process.
No. So fast forward to 2000.
Isn't that crazy?
It's.
I love when life does that. God does that.
It's so.
Like, bam.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was already written. It just the time had to kind of catch up.
Yeah.
So 2010, I had one of my team members Photoshop me sitting on a rack. So she took me off a bunk bed at the shelter, put me on a rack. And then behind me was a Willy Wonka Gates. And I said, put EM instead of WW. And then beyond that was the Yellow Brick Road. And then there was the corporate cottage. I was calling it that at the time.
Okay.
So this house is a 1926 home that was their headquarters.
How's the vibe there?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's been all restored. She's good.
Good.
So this house, we received it for a dollar with NSP and HUD, but she had to be restored. But when we received it, went over to do more of a tour of it, there was a huge rock in the front yard.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
And a dollar. Let's just back up there. Hello.
Well, we had to gut the whole thing. The whole thing had to be, the electrical was bad, the plumbing. When I say about she was restored.
Mm-hmm. Truly.
The house is a she. So, but it was all restored with donations and volunteers, the entire thing.
That is unbelievable. And how long did the restoration take?
Years.
I can imagine. I can totally imagine. So you have had, incredible press, you know?
We've been blessed.
Yeah.
Relationships.
What happened? Did something happen with Oprah? Did I miss that? Or People Magazine or something?
2010, there was 7,500 nominations for MLB and People Magazine All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the last day to vote, and my friend in Ohio put in Enchanted Makeovers. That day I received a call from People Magazine. And then they picked 90 people, and then everyone from the United States had to vote. And then it knocked us down to 30. And then the 30 got to go to California. But then they called and said, there's only 7 charities that a celebrity is going to talk about, and we've chosen you, and Sheryl Crow will talk about you during the MLB All-Star Game.
Oh, my.
So as I'm walking across the field, she's talking about it on the screen.
Wow. Wow.
That was just, that's another divine.
It is, and I have goosebumps like crazy. Thank you very much. If you were, well, not if you, you are. So, for the listener's sake, I know just with my Dream Big company that a lot of people have desires. And I personally feel when there's a desire in your soul, that is God knocking at your door saying, yeah, get with it. This is where I want you to go. What would be the advice, which you've already given plenty, but what advice would you give someone who's struggling, who's not sure that they're on the right path, that does hit closed doors, that has that person in the chair that says, you know, we don't have time to talk to you. What, you know, in a perfect world, we'd all wake up every day just feeling no struggle. But what would you tell them on their hardest day where they're not sure if they should continue their work? What would you tell them?
Well, I can only share how I live.
That works for me.
Prayer's big for me.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I hang out with people smarter than myself.
Really?
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Right.
But, you know, as you know, too, it's not going to be this fun roller coaster every day. It's
right.
There's days I'm on my knees, like crying and and praying. And
the ugly cry in the car, which, by the way, ugly cry is very healthy.
Yeah. But, you know, what's big for me is I visualize, but I'm more focused on how it's going to feel. I focus on how the outcome of the feeling. Not so much of seeing, like, the house. It wasn't how it was going to be finished. It was how it would feel to people.
Wow. That is brilliant. I love that. Because so many times we do the visualization, you know, vision board. I tell people to do vision board all the time. But that is a whole different thing. And that does kind of comfort your heart when you do it that way.
because then the feeling is so strong. And yes. then it probably disperses the fear out a little bit more. So we are going to, I want you to, we have to wrap up and I could talk to you forever because I miss you. But where can people find out more about Enchanted Makeovers?
EnchantedMakeovers.org.
Okay.
We have Facebook, Instagram,
website, yeah. everything.
Yep.
And they can donate.
We are always in need of monetary donations, mm-hmm. small, large, and just email us and tell us about what you love to do because we want people to serve with their talent.
Mm-hmm. Like my mother-in-law, I think she was going to make pillowcases once. I don't know if she ever did. I'll have to check with her, but oh, okay. I know she loves to sew, so I'll have to get her. I know she's donated. She just loves it because she hand makes everything. So she really appreciates what you do too. Well, I want to say thanks for coming on the show. And please, everyone, check out the website, not only just to donate, but also to read the story in full. And it will inspire you because it's inspired me. So thanks for being with us
today. Thank you, Jill.